The judge looked at me. Remember, people from AA came. They wrote letters. They're like, look, this guy's not a bad guy. He's just got alcoholism. They went to bat for me. And I'm sitting there in my little blue jumpsuit and my handcuffs. And the judge said, if you fail one UA, you're doing a year for this crime. And I remember sitting there thinking, I wonder when they're going to catch me. Like, can I run? How long can I run? And they let me out of there after 4 months, and I took off. And I went on the run for 6 months and completely burned my life to the ground. And when you're living in that world, people don't want you around, right? Because you're bringing a lot of bad heat, a lot of bad press. And it's like, when they're looking for you, and we're selling, like, you can't be around places like that. And I burnt my life down on the ground to a place I had nowhere else to go. And eventually I just, you know, I called my mom and I said, hey, I want to come home for a couple of days, just sleep and eat a couple of decent meals, and then I'll turn myself in. And it came to the point where I was finally sick of me, right? Y'all have been sick of me for a long time. I'm sick of me now. And I do that, and I turn myself in. And I remember when I get there, again, I probably weighed about 125 pounds. And I, because I don't eat ever. I just like to, you know, stay as messed up as I possibly can. But I sleep and I eat as soon as I get in there. And I remember the first thing I could do, I just said, can I get a pencil and a piece of paper? And I wrote down exactly how I felt, the pathetic existence of my life, the kind of son I'd been, brother I'd been, just how, you know, quit school. Kids I'm growing up with, they're playing college hockey. Like, it could have been me, woe is me, my pathetic life. And I honestly thought that if I just, you know, I gave him that, and I just knew that if I ever felt the urge to drink or to get high or to burn my life into the ground again or to trade out, I could just reference that letter and I would never do it again, because 1 + 1 = 2, and for me to drink is bad. And I realized that. I'm not a dumb guy. And I go away and I get out and I'm home for maybe 3 weeks and I'm dating some girl that's in a treatment center and it's love and it's forever. And you know, I'm like picking her up from there for dates and you know, I had a sponsor, but he said, don't date her, so you're no longer my sponsor. So I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm cut off. I don't know I'm cut off. And I'm with her one night and I said, hey, we should get a couple of beers. You know, and I think you could have put me on a lie detector test and said, what are you doing? And I would have said, I'm going to have 3, 4, maybe 5 beers, probably get laid, you know, and I'll be back tomorrow. Like, I think that lie detector test would have told you I was telling you the truth. I'd have passed with the flying colors, no doubt in my mind. And I went to bed 9 days later. And I sobered up 18 months later, pulling a needle out of my arm one more time with a Budweiser in my hand. I remember I bet you could have asked. I remember vividly standing in this kitchen. I drank the neck out of the first beer and having a conscious thought like, this was a bad idea. Because I knew that once I start, I don't stop. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that I had a physical allergy to alcohol, and that when I put beverage liquor into my body, I cannot control how much alcohol I'm going to have. And if I want to stop, no matter how bad I want to stop, no matter how bad I need to stop, I can't stay stopped for any considerable period of time. I didn't know that. I knew that, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that I had alcoholism, right? And on the flip side of that, I didn't know that my alcoholism, like I said when I started talking, that it could affect me when I was sober or drunk, because I didn't realize that that was the thing that was always eating at my mind, separating me from you, isolating me from you, telling me that OB's is a bad meeting and Rule 62 is better, or whatever the story might be, that I start rolling through my mind. Whatever it is, but I start, because I do that. I walk in and I start, and I'm just, I don't care where it is, how long it's been, I start doing that. And before I know it, I'm alone. I'm uncomfortable. It's not getting any better. This stuff doesn't work. And a drink starts to look like a really good idea, because for whatever reason, I have a brain that remembers what I should forget and I forget what I should remember. And a drink, all I can think about is what the bottom of the third beer's like. And that's the best thing in the world. And I'll trade my life in again every single time. And I did it that last time. It was the last time I ever consciously made a decision to pick up a drink of alcohol. And we were, whatever, we're sitting there and some, you know, this guy's like, hey, I got, you know, I got some meth. And you know, I don't think you guys do meth up here. I've noticed by talking to some of you, it's probably not common. Not kidding, but but I do that, and then I make a phone call to a friend of mine that I've made a lot of phone calls to. We've done a lot of things together. We've always ran together.